I haven't got a quote. I don't know. Hi. Welcome to the science fiction pay system.
We could do like the...
What's that?
The Dune.
Oh, but it's not a Dune. Are we doing... Oh, yeah.
Are you going to spoil a car's Dune as well? Wow.
That was quite good. Hello, welcome to the Science Fiction Rating System. We rank science fiction films, and this week we, in fact, re-rank them. I'm Sam Draper, and I'm joined by two wooing men. Wooer number one was Alex Humphrey, and wooer number two was Chris Redding.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Before we go any further, Alex has got important topics of discussion.
It was just thinking, it was on over Christmas, it is still on the iPlayer. Did either of you see or hear about that Free Your Mind, The Matrix Now? Are you aware of this?
No.
Oh, it's on the BBC. It was made by Danny Boyle and a few other people. It was an immersive dance experience to launch Aviva Studios, I think, in Manchester. It was one of the biggest piles of shit I've ever seen in my fucking life. It was awful. It was so awful. Like, you know when you watch something, it just makes you so angry. Like, I was so angry. And it's terrible. It's terrible. It's modern dance. It's terrible. It's terrible dance. It's terribly done.
Yeah.
You need to have watched not just all of the Matrix films, but the Animatrix to make any sense of it. Because it uses bits from the Animatrix, it tells stories across a thing. It was just like a child had made it. It was one of the biggest piles of shit I've ever seen. And I did, and it's long, and I did think, you know what, I've started this now. And I did watch all of it. Some of it on fast forward, but I didn't miss anything.
Was it
but
officially it was, sanctioned Matrix material?
That's the weird thing, because I think it is, because they use so much of the Matrix and the Animatrix and the characters, and it's got all the pretensions you think of about modern dance. It's all of them, but with the Matrix. It like tries to make comments about social media and Amazon, and just shit. It was absolute shit.
And did you watch this at Christmas and you've been waiting?
No, it was just after Christmas and it popped up on the iPlayer and I was like, I thought it'd be a documentary about The Matrix, like, as it's called, Free Your Mind, The Matrix Now. I thought it'd be a documentary.
And you kept watching just in case.
And then they said, it's an immersive experience that Danny Boyle created and it's dance. And I was like, it might be interesting. It was just terrible.
Danny Boyle did the Olympics thing, didn't he, though? Everyone loves that, and I couldn't stand that.
No. But it was the kind of thing where if you liked The Matrix, you just wouldn't... It didn't work for anyone, because if you liked The Matrix, you'd just be like, this is terrible. Mm. And if you didn't like The Matrix, really seriously, you would not understand it, because, like I say, it has the section, you know, from The Animatrix, the trial of the robot? Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
it has, like, that in it. And if you don't know, and it has the war between the robots and but all done in, so not only is it impenetrable because that's all in a cartoon, but that's done through modern dance. So it's even more stupidly impenetrable. There's the beginning, there's a kind of Alan Turing bit, and there's got a virtual Alan Turing, and it just seems offensive to him. Like, it was crap, absolute crap.
I could have guessed 100 times what you're going to talk about. I never would have come up with interpretive dance Matrix.
I've wanted to talk about it for a while, but annoyingly, it was after our New Year show, Ills, and I'm not going to talk about it next year because that's so. Thank you for giving me the platform.
Well, there we go. That's the important
vent my anger.
Thanks,
Alex,
for that important update about that show. So now we're going to re-rank some films. How do we follow that? We're each going to pick a film each and we're going to re-rank them and put them into our list, because if you don't know, it's films that
they've had a full episode.
That's it.
So we don't want to do them again because we've given them an hour's worth of our time.
Yes.
But they aren't in the list. So it's the films that got the films that only got were on a three-way episode, they get redone.
Yeah.
Because we only talked for them about 20 minutes. But the ones that got full episode, they get re-ranked.
Right. Well, I'll start.
Go for it.
And I'm going to start with June.
Ooh.
The
David Lynch.
The David Lynch 84, was it?
Yeah.
Because obviously June Part 2 just came out. Mm. I think, should we wait and do a spoiler cast properly when all three of us have watched it, I think? Because it would be nice to be able to talk about it fully.
I'll try. If not, you guys can do it. I'll try and catch up.
But mini spoilers, I really loved it. Chris, were you a fan of it?
Yes, I thought it was good. It didn't have the same impact as one for me.
No, definitely not. But don't you think, though, it is very much a middle trilogy film, isn't it? It's like Empire Strikes Back or Two Towers. It felt very...
Yeah, totally, yeah. But an epic, you know, it's got its epic...
Is there a part three, then?
There's got to be. I mean,
he's already planning Messiah, I think.
Yeah, that's the second book. Because this gets the end of the first book, but he's got to make the third film, because it's like I'm flying off the end of Empire Strikes Back. The end is. There's another film to come.
And it's just reached a point where all the characters are about to get super interesting and just go batshit.
Yeah.
So I need to see that batshit version, the next step, really.
Okay. Yep. Sure. So we'll discuss it. I think we should at a later point, we'll all convene and talk about that. For now, let's talk about June from 1984, which we reviewed quite a while ago. I read a book, I think I mentioned on the podcast before, I read a book quite recently about the making of it, which was really interesting, and about how they had a lovely time making it, but it was a bit of a mess. And I also watched a fan edit of like a three-hour version where they try and put stuff back in, and it was a much better film for it. And I do think as well, having watched that recently, that the visual language of Denis Villeneuve's version is without a doubt, like, comes from the Lynch Dune. Because a lot of the look of it, the kind of like bondagey sort of Harkonnen look, stuff like that, it's not that's not really in the book. Like, that's Lynch made all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Or at least solidified it in a way. And I think watching them so close
that's
together,
interesting.
Watching them so close together like that, there is definitely a strand of DNA that goes from Lynch to Villeneuve, without a doubt.
I was wondering that because I've not read the books, and I was thinking, like, actually a lot of this stuff is the same.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah,
and I just assumed it was explained in the books.
I mean, it is obviously like the because they are both quite faithful to the book and not faithful in different ways. But the books don't have that kind of like bondage element, as I say, of like the design, and also a lot of the Kwisatz, the Bene Gesserits, and their big hats and things like that. Like,
it's
not as visual in the books, obviously, because it's a book, and that is all from Lynch, I think. So I think there's definitely a through line, and so we watched it before. A synopsis, you know, I mean, it's June, like, everyone's watched the new Dunes, and it's June 1 and 2 basically is in June. It's got a very different ending to the book and to the new Dune films.
I think it's funny, isn't it, because a lot of the people that hadn't seen Lynch 1 watched the Villeneuve one and were like outraged that it was like, oh, why has it stopped? And it's like, well, if you've watched the Lynch one, you know that they've only got halfway.
Yeah,
you know that that's a midpoint. So you know, well, he obviously isn't going to finish because we're 2 hours into the film.
Yeah,
he can't finish now. There's more to go. So I think it's kind of funny. The people that didn't ever see that Lynch one were like outraged. Oh, it's part one. Oh, if I'd known it was only part one. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? But it's like this. It's if you'd seen the Lynch, you know there's a lot more.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, that is one of the big problems of the Lynch film, that they do try and pack a lot in and have to resort to endless voiceovers that are so confusing. Like, I remember when we watched it, like, I think both of you, I mean, Chris, you hadn't seen it, I think.
And Chris hadn't seen it, yeah.
I remember a lot of confusion around, like, what was going on at the start.
It's bonkers, it really is. Yeah. Like, it's, the world building I find really interesting, and this was just a little bit too ahead of its time, wasn't it, in terms of what they were trying to attempt with the art department available to them.
But also, like, they, I mean, there's like these, they called like the Space Guild or something like that, a whole like faction that aren't in the new films, that are in the Lynch one. So he was attempting more than Villeneuve attempts in 4 or 5 hours, you know.
But I think Villeneuve does something which is reminiscent to me of like watching like Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid is I didn't get it all. And I just saw glimpses of things that weren't explained. And that is like, it's a real masterclass in epic world building.
Is the new one like, or the old one?
The new one.
The new one, right.
Yeah.
Compared to this one.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to explain everything.
They do a lot of more explaining of this and ultimately failing to show it in its, you know, as good as it could be.
Yeah.
Because my imagination of the Spacing Guild is a lot better than what they could have shown me.
Yeah, definitely. And also, the other problem with that is because they can't show it because when it's made, a lot of it is voiceovers. And because it is a really complicated plot. You know, there's a lot going on. And, I mean, that's the beauty of the modern ones as well, is that that it's almost all intact from the book. And yet it's still a blockbuster. It's still this huge, fun thing to watch. But we're talking about the old one anyway. So, that's the old June, very confused. So, in the old list, have we got the old list around? We have, haven't we?
Somewhere.
Yeah, I've got it. So, the old list is at number 103. So it's quite far down. I am slightly more favourably, I feel more favourable towards it now. And we're watching the new one and seeing that link and seeing how much, you know, that it was used in the new films. And also, like, I read about how, like, he was, like, ready to make the second one and stuff. Lynch was really into it in a way that I think has been lost. You know, we won't talk about it now, and he's had his name taken off it and things like that.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, so you're basically saying Lynch needed to kind of fail for Villeneuve to then succeed, as it were.
I just feel like if it didn't exist, the Villeneuve films would be a lot different and not as good.
Yeah.
You know, it's failed, but it's been a crucial building block in the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah,
Let's rate it. I mean, how old can you remember? It wasn't that long ago we watched it, was it? You can remember?
Yeah, I can remember. Well, yeah.
So science.
I mean,
it's a post computer society.
Yeah,
it's quite cool. And they travel through time by... they literally fold space.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't... it's really... it is cool, and it is... it is there, isn't it? But as Chris... As we proved when we did it, that Chris just didn't understand a lot of it because they were trying to explain it, but they failed. So it kind of appears to be kind of magic because they're just not really... do you know what I mean? So you're at that point where, not in a good way, it's just, oh, okay, well, that's what they do then, is it? You know?
Well, I think Dune is the most realistic sci-fi there is.
New Dune.
Wow.
Or Dune, just a Dune universe.
Wow, okay.
Because I think it's interesting to put your mind into that, like, deep future.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen very often in sci-fi.
Especially not like, the scale they're doing it.
To do, like, 20,000 years in the future doesn't happen.
Yeah.
No.
I think that's sort of how it's gone back to like a feudal system because of the distances involved, and it's changed humans. They've evolved differently in different planetary systems they've been to because that would happen.
Yeah,
well, because they're post like they had computers and stuff and they were all linked and it all collapsed.
And you could imagine it's how cool, that would happen
it?
Too.
Yeah, how it all fractures. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
And there was this massive leap of technology, like to become spacefaring, and that changed everything. And you can imagine that happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So high on the science, you're saying?
For me, yes.
Okay.
Now they've got exactly the same technology as they do in Star Trek, but Star Trek's like 200 years in the future. Like,
yeah, that's true.
So for me, that makes it more plausible.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think it's pretty plausible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, is it? Because there's a magic spice that lets you fold time and see the future. But, like, that's not science, is it? That's a different element of it.
But we can imagine there's a substance out there which we haven't discovered.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And you can imagine humans evolving into these different abilities just because the nature of what we are and how we've evolved in the last few 100,000 years anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
So should we say 7?
I would go higher. I mean, I would go higher. I would go sort of the 8 or 9. Like, I think it's very good. Okay. They don't break any rules. You know,
I'm just trying to think if in the old Dune there's anything they do silly with it, but I don't think there is because they are so faithful to the book.
No, not really.
Let's go 9 then. Let's do it.
Wow, okay.
Craft.
See, I mean, it is the sets and all that. It does, and the effects are pretty. They're not bad. Like, they're pretty,
well, I think this is the bit that's raised me. I say because the visual language is so there, and it is very unique. I mean, the thing is, like, when we came back to watching it, the thing you do remember the look of it and the box, you know, and the that kind of stuff. And those, I know, like the matte paintings, they look a bit janky with a very nice look to it all.
Yeah,
I think the crafty side. I mean, the problem is that, like, it is like the worm riding's not very good because it is it's made.
They compared to what they don't do in this, technically compared to Star Wars and other good sci-fi, like good art department sci-fi, is they don't sell scale on their miniatures.
Mm. Right? That's true.
Their miniatures are like rounded and, you know, there's no detail of a scale.
Yeah.
So it all looks like it's been made out of like a washing up liquid bottle.
Vibes. Yeah.
Because they haven't it was only being described and figured out in Star Wars and Alien and 2001.
Mm.
And whoever worked on this hadn't got the memo.
No.
Yeah. Also it's made in Mexico, not on the cheap, but like kind of on the cheap. So like they're cutting corners as well, which I know the first Star Wars isn't an expensive film, but like.
But this has got like Flash Gordon vibes, they'd figured out what to make things truly real.
Yeah. No, that's true.
You're right. It does feel pre-Star Wars in some ways, doesn't it? You're right. Like the kind of look of it and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So craft, a six.
Yeah, see.
I think the costumes and the visual—they have built this visual language that has been used.
It's bold, and they should get should get some benefit for that.
Let's get six. I think art is where it suffers because the script is a mess.
Yeah, script is a mess. Some of the acting—I mean, you've got Sting in there.
Yeah,
you've got some really good performances, very memorable.
Also, an interview with Patrick Stewart where he didn't know who Sting was on the set. And was asking him like, what, who are you?
Oh yeah,
and he goes, I'm a musician.
Yeah.
He goes, oh wow. Great,
yeah.
What do you like? What do you play? He goes, bass.
Yeah,
I'm in a band called the Police. He goes, you're in a police band, like.
Brilliant. Yeah, some acting's great. Some characters are brilliant. Some people are not. Colin McLaughlin's doing his best, but
I think Colin McLaughlin's good in it.
Yeah, he's good.
But no, you're right. They're not all. I think the script's the main thing that's the problem with it. And also, I don't particularly like the score. The Toto, the Brian Eno piece is all right, but I think the score's not. It ain't great.
No.
It's a bit sort of like. I like some new age stuff, but it's like crap new agey and sort of, you know.
Five or six then?
I think it's lower than a five, don't you?
Oh, wow, okay. I mean, his script is bad.
I don't think it's a good film. I still don't think it's a good film. Like, and I think this is where it falls down. Like, because it's a mess, and like don't understand it all. The change to the end, making it all rain is ridiculous. You know.
Yeah. Well,
think a four. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It takes a certain sort of like skill to tell a sci-fi, and it's not here. It's not.
Low significance, isn't it? Because people didn't know. I mean, you know or you don't know. And
well, is it though? Because, like, I don't know.
It's a weird, it's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, because if I would say majority of people didn't know about it, but if you're saying that a lot of people, filmmakers were influenced by it, or a lot of visualists, a lot of, you know, like.
I think filmmakers.
Futurama, or like a lot of. There's a lot of nerd influences there, or people, artists' influence.
I don't know what the problem for me is that both my parents were obsessed with it, so I've got no idea what the wider feel of it is, because in my house it was a big deal.
Yeah, well, it's never been mentioned once in my house. So. Yeah,
so I think it's kind of akin to the Ralph Bakshi or whatever it is, Lord of the Rings. You know, we're like, people are really into it, and then they saw that and they were like, that isn't really what I wanted. Like, you've kind of if this was our go, you've kind of mucked it up. In the same way Peter Jackson then had to go and it all again. To say, like, people really want, like, but I think Villeneuve's brought it to a bigger audience.
Oh, definitely.
So
another four?
Yeah, maybe a four then. Yeah.
not a franchise, not official content, not Poppins. So let's tilt Dune. 3, 2, 1, tilt. It's got 6-6 and a 7 from... 6 from me and Chris and a 7 from Alex, which gives
it
a
I like
6-1-7.
I think it's fun.
Which I think has put it up the list a bit. And so my parents will be happy because they were not happy with their old rating of it.
I think it's brave, isn't
it?
Oh,
no, we've got a tie. This hasn't happened for a while, has it? So how do we deal with this? Do we have to, like, we just choose our favourite, don't we, basically, from the two? And the majority wins it. So the tie is between Demolition Man and Dune. Fuck's
sake. I prefer Demolition Man, personally.
I prefer...
That's really difficult.
I would yeah, if you told me to re-rank to go in line, I would go lower for Demolition Man, really. Because I would watch Demolition Man again. Dune, I like how brave it is, and I think it's great that they tried to do that and it failed.
I think Demolition Man's a better film than Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dune's getting a lot of hype from what's in the cinemas right now. Yeah. So.
Okay, sorry. So Demolition Man gets pushed up.
Do you want, I can, yeah. What if I put in a 0.5, a 6.5 instead of a. Does that help?
Well, no, because we've already got the point, haven't we? We've already got the point in.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put
remember
it in
when remember when I managed to argue something?
Oh, that was amazing.
Rathacon.
Oh, was it Rathacon?
Yeah. That was great.
You did very well.
Classic content. Right, that's the first free rank. Who wants to go next?
I don't mind. I can
go. You go.
Okay, I'm bringing Predator to the table. Nice. 1987. John McTiernan. We did it on. So we did it
twice,
on.
Yes,
we did it in the 71st episode, got its own thing, and then we did a re-rank Predator, Independence Day, and Tron. You brought Predator because you weren't happy, you thought it should be higher. It was 7th on the original list. I love Predator, I'm set that out straight away. Again, like Dune, surely everyone has heard of Predator, huge franchise, 1987, the film that kind of started it all off. Arnold Schwarzenegger is they're a rescue. He's part of a rescue team, not assassins. And he is sent out into the Central American rainforest to save some people. But it all goes sideways because they start being hunted by an alien. Who?
What are the chances of that?
You son of a bitch. but also important to mention it because of the recent passing of...
Oh, yeah, Carl Weathers died, didn't he?
Yeah, of Carl Weathers, which is pretty sad. Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of people might know him from The Mandalorian.
Hey, Mando. Arrested Development, he's really good in that. You remember him in that?
He's good in everything. He's good in everything. He's good in Rocky, isn't he? He's like a...
Yeah.
He's a great actor. So, yeah, brilliant film. I think it's one of the few films that is, it's an action film, it's a sci-fi film, it's a horror film, and it's every single one of those films well. I think it's all of those things well.
Yeah.
It's one of those films that kind of almost jumps genre. You start off in a kind of an action territory and move to a kind of horror territory. I think that's good. I think Arnie said, we've talked about it before, but Arnie said that, it's probably Arnie saying this, but when in the original script it was just him on his own, and he didn't like that, and it was he saying he inspired that it was a team of people that he was with, and I do think that is one of the, you know, spoilers, he does end up on his own, but I do think it is the team element that does differentiate it. You know, you've got a great mix of people in there. You've got Jesse Ventura.
Arc of it. I think I said last time I did it, like, but I think Predator's a perfect film. I think that as a for the genre that it's in, there is nothing better. Yeah. There is no better 80s action film, and it's science fiction, and it's got a fucking great alien in it. Like,
yeah, and I think the Predator as a creation is such a great creation.
Yeah,
the sequels have been hit and miss.
The thing is,
Predator 2 is good.
Predator 2
Prey was good.
Yeah,
I like the others. We famously were disagreed over the other ones. The Predator's the thing terrible. Predator is though.
I've liked them all because it's like what you're signing up to when you see a Predator film.
Yeah,
it's like true. It's basic. They have no backstory.
No.
The Predator.
The Predator was terrible.
Like...
Predator was terrible. Predator is so good because you could take the alien out of Predator and they could just be hunting a dude and it would still be a great film. Like,
yeah, it's true.
Predator is like, it's several genres at once, all working fantastically. And because the Predator is there and he is an alien, it's such a great sort of twist on it.
Yeah. And also it does do that thing of, you know, the subsequent films and the comics and everything has kind of tried to put lore in and a world and all that. But
you don't need
this one. You don't need it. You get very quickly that he is hunting them. He has this kind of honourable, like a kind of an honour system, kind of.
He's the reason. Really. The reason
it's very simplistic.
It's not just that they're both fucks that Predator and Alien get linked a lot. It's because, like the Alien, Predator doesn't. He's like it's primal, a primal sort of force. And he's got an honour. You get a little bit of his life, but you don't need it because he's such a.
Yeah.
He's like a force in nature. I just fucking love Predator. It's such
a good film. And I think that when we watched it again, the last time we watched it, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he isn't a great actor, but I think the end, when it is, there's very little dialogue in the end. It goes full into this kind of primal, you know, he's covered in mud, he's set these traps.
Shot beautifully.
It's shot beautifully. They strip away all of the dialogue at that point, and it is a really good performance. You do it, you know, for an actor that played a lot of characters where you just thought, oh, he's going to get, you know, there was no peril really in a lot of Arnie films. You just know he's going to win. You do see him kind of suffering in a way, and like, you know, they do kind of barely get away, to be honest, really, don't they?
He sells it. He sells that character and the idea, because it also is still a macho 80s action film.
Yeah.
But they strip that down and kind of that scene when they go to the camp, the village, and they wreck everything, and after that it all just like it like dismantles like what they are and who they are, and that whole kind of like 80s macho America fucking the world up kind of thing just gets slowly just destroyed by Predator. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant.
So yeah.
Chris, what's your thoughts on Predator, Chris?
No, I do enjoy Predator, and I do like there's as you say, like, it's primal, it's simple. I kind of do like films where you've got like this simple rule.
Yeah.
And and I actually do enjoy all the newer Predator films.
Even The Predator.
Even The Predator.
Even I didn't really like The film Predator.
Was terrible.
That was like, that's the one. I like Predators, and I quite like it. And I'm a huge champion of Predator 2 as well. Yeah.
Predator 2, Gary Busey.
That's a great film.
Yeah.
Predator.
And Prey was really good.
Prey was great.
And I'm hoping they don't.
Alien vs. Predator, I enjoyed.
Yes. Film. And Alien vs. Predator 2, which we're still yet to do.
We're not so sure about that.
But we did say in Alien vs. Predator, we did say that it's more respectful to the Predator than it is to the Alien. The Alien isn't used well. But the Predator is at least...
Predator should not be getting thumbs up from a human. It's Amos Predator's dire.
No. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Predator. So, I mean, in terms of the science, I mean, there isn't much... I mean, his gadgets are all pretty cool.
He's got his visions, different vision things.
Yeah, cool. He's got his vision things. That's quite cool.
If you were hunting on an alien planet, you'd need to see different sorts of, like, light and stuff.
Yeah. But it's not... I mean, it's not high. I mean, it is. It's somebody. We're talking about real science, aren't we? We're talking about plausible science ideas.
But there's nothing. It's not doing anything egregiously wrong, is it though?
No. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, like a seven.
Seven.
Then? Seven. Okay. Give it a seven.
There's a ritual side to it all.
Yeah.
Like there's a culture.
I love how there's all the weapons, and they don't really. They kind of skim through them, and in Predator 2, he gets a whole load of new weapons. They're not like, you know, and they don't really explain the weapons at all. It's just what he's got, like, yeah.
Oh. It's very James Bondy, isn't it? Like, just...
Yeah, he's got
this thing specific for this.
Yeah.
Kraft, I think, is pretty high on this. Oh. I mean, the how he looks is great. It looks brilliant. It's a great bit of...
The design on the weapons, like the triangle,
Yep.
It nearly went one. It nearly went wrong with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yes.
Yes. A suit.
Well, yeah. If you see yes. the, and what's it? He's like a red, like a lizard man.
He looks like an ant type of thing.
Doesn't he look like the thing that
a praying mantis?
Or like it's like what Kirk fights with the Rock, isn't he? He looks a bit like
the
that.
Gorn. The Gorn.
The Gorn. He looks a bit like.
No, he looks like a praying mantis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big. Yeah. Shout out to Kevin Peter Hall, who's also. Harry and the Hendersons. That's who plays.
Also dead.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he's dead. But he was. Yeah, he did a lot of good. Lot of good work. It's a very good physicality in it.
And also the craft of the actual suit is amazing, isn't it?
Like, that looks amazing. Mm. Yeah, that looks amazing.
And it's. I think this is an 8.
8. Yeah, 8.
They use it like they don't do anything which is beyond their reach, do they? And it just works. There isn't anything you watch it and go, that doesn't quite work.
No, it all
And it's all in a jungle, which is pretty, you know, intense as a location to use this sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Art, again,
this has got to be
great script.
The score is incredible.
Yeah.
The script is exactly what it needs to be.
Yep.
It's shot beautifully. I think this has got to be a 9.
9. Great.
I think.
I'm happy with that. Shove it in.
Significance.
And a big significance as well.
It's massively
quoted. It's still referenced.
I mean, what are we now? Almost 40 years later, and they're still making sequels to it.
Still works.
There's games, comics, toys.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
TV shows, a TV show coming out.
I don't know if they're going to make the sequel to Prey as a TV show or as a... You never know, really, unfortunately. But
I hope they don't do a TV show.
No.
I'd like... I think we said at the time, didn't we? They should just move into different time frames, shouldn't they? And do another...
Yeah. The, as much as I love Prey, it's the wrong idea is to carry
stay
on
there.
From Prey.
Yeah, you need to go somewhere
else. The right idea is to set it in another time. Another set of...
They should do like an Apocalypse film.
Yes, that would be great.
Go like way, way back.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so much, you know. There's so much.
Yeah.
There's so much scope there.
They should do one where it's fighting dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? It's a significant. We're going to say an 8. It's high, isn't it?
8 or 9, definitely.
What would be if it's an 8? What would be a 9? Star
Alien.
Wars is big, isn't it, I suppose.
Star Wars, I guess. Yeah.
It is first in franchise. It's not Poppins.
No.
Let's tilt this. 3. Okay. 2. 1. Tilt. It's got a 10 from me, and a 10 from Alex, and an 8 from Chris, giving it a 0.858. This is...
Oh, it's a big
this
score.
This is up there.
Oh, I think it's gone top of the list. It's beaten The Wrath of Khan. And I mean, rightly so, to be honest.
Oh, well, in
I
my
do,
opinion, yeah. Oh, wow, it's quite far out at the top.
Yeah, I do really like Wrath of Khan, but...
I was trying to bring it back to save Wrath of Khan.
I know you were, but...
Should have done a 7.
I do think its significance-wise
if I did a 7,
is,
what would that have done?
It's not going to make a difference,
it'd have to be like a 5.
Because it's like, it's way
out. It is my favourite film, that's why.
I'd have after given it a 4.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be fair, would it?
That wouldn't have been right, would it, Chris? You'd have been lying. Well, I'm very happy with that. That's where it deserves to be.
Yeah, me too,
I'm sure other films will come along and challenge its title, but it is up. I mean, it is, you know, like I say, it was 7th on our original list, which is, you know, not bad. But
great.
Yeah, but yeah, good. Glad I brought it back up. Glad it's in there. As I say, if you want to listen to our episodes about it, go listen to them. Episodes 71 and 102.
Good research there. Brilliant. Right, finally, Chris, what do you want to re-rank?
I would like to re-rank the Planet of the Apes James Franco.
James Franco.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And
okay,
I'm just trying to find out what the actual title is. It's Rise. Is it Rise?
Dawn? Yes. Dawn.
I know they got the titles all wrong on this trilogy. Like, they named them wrong.
Oh, it's not Dawn. No, it's not Dawn.
The Planet of the Apes.
Isn't it Rise? It's not Rise?
Is it Rise? It is Rise, yes. Rise, the Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Okay.
But the first one should have been Dawn.
Yeah, it should really.
And the second one should have been Rise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the third one then?
War? Is it War?
War.
And then it's Kingdom.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
So what's this one called? Rise. So Rise of the Planet of the Apes. 2011. So this one, I think, when did we do this?
Episode 10.
Wow, that's way back.
Yeah. The 15th of May, 2017.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, so this is the reboot after the Tim Burton reboot. Oh. I actually don't mind the Tim Burton one. I think Tim Burton's got good... there's some interesting things with
we should
Tim
watch
Burton
that.
We should watch that. We should watch that. We should watch that.
At least the Tim Burton one, like, they tell a story beginning to end. There's no fucking, like...
Yeah.
Set up for something else. It's like...
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, so... This is the new series where there wasn't a single ape used, practical ape used in these films.
All fake apes. So
it's all fake ape. And I don't know if... Well, it must have been Andy Serkis's lot.
Yeah, it's always him, isn't it?
Always him.
Yeah, yeah. So this was a technological... I remember seeing this and I thought, well, actually, they've sorted it now. They've sussed it.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, it was really good.
It's very good.
And... Just think about how bonkers the idea of Planet of the Apes is. Like, and they managed to do a modern sci-fi where they actually make it believable.
It's a really good story.
They step you through every little step of how it would get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you buy every step.
Yeah. No, I don't think James Franco is a very good actor, but he's reasonable in this. And the John Lithgow,
this goes great.
The dementia, and it's like it's a lot of there's a lot more emotion in it than you think, and they were very clever. I don't know who scripted it, but they were like you say, were playing a long game.
Yeah.
And considering, you know, the originals are so were a big thing, and then you got that terrible... Well, you got that remake that flopped very badly. For the studios to go, oh, go on then, you know, it's quite a risk, really, because it could have gone... You could have had the same stilted series, couldn't you? It could have just stopped again.
I just think it's very cleverly, like, thought out. If there was 10% of this sort of level of writing used in the Star Wars universe...
Yeah.
You know, you know, as far as like forethought and planning, this shows, that's ape level compared to this. You know,
they're very clever to say to the, it's kind of says to the audience, isn't it? It's like, you know where this is going, but we're not going to rush. We're going to really show you how to get here. We're not going to, the temptation would have been just to go straight and do a remake of the Heston or just to go straight in and have talking monkeys. And they really don't do that.
But also by showing so little of the story as a prequel, it allows them to have an arc that you don't know because you know that they aren't going to get to Charlton Heston landing in the one film. So therefore you don't know what's going to happen really, do you?
Or Marky Mark landing.
Yeah.
But they're still dropping little like hints and little bits of stuff. Like,
and it's got an incredible ending credit sequence, hasn't it? With the map of the, do you remember that with the map of the virus going around the world?
Yeah.
Like a COVID. You get on a plane at the end and it zooms out from the plane to the map and you see spreading out. Like,
It is great.
Yeah, it's really.
And actually, I remember sitting in the cinema going, actually, this is like fucking quite scary. I was like going, shit.
Well, especially what happened. Few years later,
it's ridiculous.
Also, it was a shock, wasn't it? Because I remember not expecting nothing from this at all, and it was a pleasant surprise, wasn't it? It was good.
Yeah.
It sounded like the worst idea of all time, didn't it? A Planet of the Apes prequel,
but just a cash in. Like it just sounded like another cash in. Like let's roll out another series and just remake it, and it won't work. But no.
And you even get a Malfoy kid.
Yeah, getting
arsehole character again.
Oh yeah, in like the zoo, isn't he?
He's the son of the bloke in the zoo, isn't he?
He's Brian Cox. Brian Cox is the man. Yeah,
he's
the zoo.
He's the evil ape man.
Good pick.
So you know, it's I found it really interesting. It's got that sort of pharmaceutical story going on. Big pharma.
Yeah, big pharma.
It's got the idea that there's, you know, an illness in humans that they're trying to solve.
Noble intentions,
and it goes a little bit tits up at the end.
Yeah, and also it's interesting that it is like it's a byproduct, isn't it? It's not what he wasn't intending to do that. It's what happens because he's trying to do something else, like you don't get that a lot in. Most science fiction films, they'd be setting out to do that, and it maybe goes a little bit sideways, but it's mainly they were trying to do what they're doing, and this isn't that at all. He's not trying to do that at all.
And that moment when I think all the apes wake up and they've been, they have more about them than when they went to sleep. You know, they've evolved in their minds.
Yeah.
That's really well done.
Yeah.
Like the way they step you through these, this like change is so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So compared to the Tim Burton one, this one obviously has a lot going for it. So, we're all pretty positive on this one,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah.
It's a fine
cool
film.
Yeah.
Shall we put it in the in the supercomputer?
Sure.
Right. So I think science is everything is very plausible with this.
Yeah, good science.
Especially considering what happened 10 years after this came out. I was reading about this new one which is gonna happen, like where these deer wasting disease that deer have you read up about this?
No.
Like it's like they drool themselves to death, like it's a zombie, they turn into zombies and they just like hunters find them in the middle of the forest and they're just like drooling and the drool goes on the leaves and it's a prion disease, it's like mad cow's disease, so it lasts, it will stay on the leaves for like it'll stay on the leaves forever and you can't wash it away. And if it jumps, and obviously hunters eat the deer meat, like people like Joe Rogan eat deer meat and stuff like that, you know, they, and it could jump, and that would be a proper fucking zombie land situation.
Oh, God.
And it's a prion disease, so even like surgical instruments, when you put them in a washer to wash surgical instruments, it doesn't work. It doesn't get the fucking disease off.
God.
Great. Thanks for that, Chris. Thanks for that.
So yeah,
as if the world couldn't get more fucked.
Yeah, yeah. It's called. I think it's called.
I don't know what it's called.
No. Don't tell people. Let's
so
not.
Check that out. Check that out.
Check out
chronic wasting disease.
That's our listenership slash. Everyone's going hung themselves after listening to this episode.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
high on science. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, this is how it's gonna. This is how it's going to pan out, basically. So I think this is high. So I would put this like an 8. An 8. Like,
yeah, give it an 8. Yeah.
This is an 8.
Yeah. Probably how we're going to die. That's an 8.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, good
so
craft as
craft-wise,
well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very... Yeah, yeah, I mean, well, they push the boundaries of what is possible with...
Special effects to stand out, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And it got better and better. Like, the second film was even better. The third film was even better.
Yeah.
You can see this one now, you watch it and you go, oh, this is like edgy. It's like, but it's still great. So, you know, I would say 7 probably on this. This is.
Yeah, because it's the effects that are pulling it up. Everything else is just fine, isn't it? But the effects, the effects are great.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah. Craft and art, nothing to blow you away. I mean, I say, the top level writing, I think, is excellent. Yeah. Like the pacing and the. How they're drip feeding you, that is excellent. Mm. It's nothing notable in terms of like actual script or score or anything like that.
No.
It's a very serviceable film.
6?
Yeah, James Franco's fine.
Yeah. Significance, I mean, compared to the originals,
not really. It's not really, is it? Like you say, it's significant in terms of...
It has launched this whole new series, hasn't it, though? It has like relaunched...
Still think people think of the earlier one weirdly.
That's true. We couldn't even name it, could we? So.
No.
Yeah.
The Charlton Heston is still more ingrained. Like get your, you know, right. your filthy ape and the.
So I would say like mid level significance. Like
I think a 4.
Four. Okay.
It is the first in the franchise.
No, it's not.
No, it's.
Well,
it doesn't. It doesn't rely on anything.
It's a prequel. It's not a first new franchise.
It's
a reboot.
Fair enough.
Not questionable.
Not Poppins.
Not Poppins. So let's go with that. Okay, so we're going to rank it. We're going to tilt it in 3, 2, 1. Go. Cool, we have a 7 from Alex, a 7 from me, and a 6 from Sam, which gives us a 0.672. Ooh. And that puts us in the realms of... Under the Skin!
We did it again!
We got another one on? Oh my God,
This is going to happen. This is going to happen.
It's going to keep happening.
We might need
It's going to keep on happening.
We need a randomizer in there.
We need something, don't we?
So
is it better or worse than Under the Skin? I'd much prefer Under the Skin to this. So that's my
Under the Skin, I think, is more important as a film.
Hated the end of Under the Skin, though. But, yeah, it's more interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
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 Give
it that one.
Under the Skin takes it.
Under the Skin takes it.
So what's that? So that's 15th in the list for...
although, I tell you something, it's above Sorry to Bother You, which is a bit like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, because there's horsemen in Sorry to Bother You, and then ape men in this.
More cucks in Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah, way more. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Cool.
Good one. Cool. Good choice, there we go. Chris. We have great.
Re-ranked three films. Popular request for that, re-rankings. And there we go. Next week, we're gonna carry on this Planet of the Apes theme, aren't we? We're gonna watch Dawn.
Which one are we gonna watch?
Dawn.
Dawn. Next.
Dawn of Planet of the Apes, and then we're gonna watch Dawn. After it, are we? Or should we watch the Tim Burton one? Let's do the trilogy. Let's watch Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and then let's watch whatever the other one's called. War.
Is that wise to do two of the same things one after the other?
Should we not then? Okay, we won't do that. Okay, we'll just watch Dawn.
We should do something else, and then next time we'll do the third one.
Okay, we'll do Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and something else to be determined.
Flubber.
Yeah. We're not doing fucking Flubber.
No, we don't have to do Flubber.
Do you want to do Flubber?
Flubber. We've mentioned Flubber before.
No one's mentioned Flubber.
No one said Flubber. I've never said Flubber in my life.
We said Flubber at some point.
Bloody Robin Williams.
We mentioned Flubber.
No, we're not watching Flubber.
Where did Flubber come from?
Not Flubber. We won't be doing
Flubber. We'll tell you next week we're going to watch.
Yeah.
No, it's not Flubber, I'll tell you that much.
Flubber. I forgot that existed. Thanks for bringing that back.
You got a board game of that as well?
No, I don't have a board game of that.
Right.
We should probably do a Ghostbusters soon, but, you know.
Ghostbusters 2, we haven't done that yet.
No. When's Ice Horizon or whatever it's called?
We'll discuss this off air.
Okay, yeah.
Right, thanks guys. ScienceFictionRatingSystem@gmail.com. Get in touch, tell us what you want to watch next. Not Flubber. We're not going to watch that. And we'll join you next week for, what was it? Dawn?
Dawn.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
This is giving it the lowest significance that we can't fix in our heads. Yeah. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, see you next week. Bye.